Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
It is well with my soul. Thank you so much for so many of you reaching out to us on staff here at St. Paul's and the Bridge and just asking how we're doing. And it is well with our soul because we have a message of hope that we are undefeated. Today we're going to be taking a look at Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14, but I'm not going to read it right now, but I would like to start with a prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe into our hearts the breath of life and use us to breathe that breath of life and hope into the people around us through Jesus Christ, our ultimate hope. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am having a hard time not checking on the Johns Hopkins COVID-19 page every day, you know, seeing the tally. And over the last week, I've especially been focusing in on Russia because it seems like Russia must be doing something right because it's not spreading in Russia, although you read other things and you find out, yes, it is. They just don't want to acknowledge it. Kind of reminds me of Jerusalem in Ezekiel's day in about 600 years before the time of Christ. It was a beautiful city, and everything was just fine. Oh, it's true that there were some people who had gone off into exile in Babylon. Ezekiel the prophet was one of them. But for most people, everything was just going along just fine so far. It reminds me of what we are experiencing in our world today. We too sometimes feel like God's people, the world around us really isn't recognizing what's happening. And the prophets got this message that said, the house of Israel is not willing to listen to you because they are not willing to listen to me, for the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate. Now, as I think about these things of in the Old Testament times, it's hard for me not to see a lot of similarities between our day. You know, it just seems like the world has gone on and kind of paid no attention to the church, especially perhaps over the last generation. It just seems like the church is being ignored and that the nation around us, the world around us, is becoming hardened and obstinate. And, you know, nothing bad has happened to us yet. But is the problem that God is calling us to think about during this whole COVID-19 thing really the issue that there are hardened and obstinate hearts out there in the world? As I thought about how God's people were experiencing and would then experience the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile into Babylon, I realized that God's call was not primarily to those hardened and obstinate people out there in the world. It was a call to repentance for God's people in the church, that their hearts had become hardened and obstinate. I would encourage you in the next couple of days to read over an interesting vision that God gave Ezekiel in Ezekiel 8 through 11. And in that vision, I can see it plain as day of where it is on the page. Have you ever had that? You know, I can see it. I just can't see the words. Be patient with me. Yeah, I'm missing a section. There's a whole section that I'm missing that I can't remember right there. All right, well, I'm just going to go on with this next section. That's why. I should have just gone on and I would have seen it. See, God's people at the time of Ezekiel thought everything was going great, but archaeology tells us that that wasn't the case. You see, these Judean pillar figurines, they are found all over in Jerusalem and in Judah at the time of Ezekiel. And they indicate that there was this spiritual contagion going on in God's people, and it wasn't something that was just localized to a few people, but archaeology does reveal that this spiritual contagion, this worship of these household gods, these Judean pillar figurines, was spread throughout God's people. And then in this vision from Ezekiel 8 to 11, it's revealed that this spiritual contagion was present even in the temple itself. In this vision, God invites Ezekiel to dig into the temple and then see what was happening in the hearts of the spiritual leaders of God's people. The Lord said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, have you seen what the elders of Israel are doing in the darkness, each at the shrine of his own idol? They say, 'The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land.'" The Lord does not see us. You see, the prophet Ezekiel was foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile, to call God's people to repentance. They were saying, "The Lord does not see us. He doesn't see the spiritual corruption, the disease that's happening in my heart." And God used this destruction of Jerusalem to call God's people to repentance. Could it be that this whole COVID-19 thing is primarily a call for us as God's people to search our own hearts? Is there part of us that's saying, the Lord really does not see? Is that what is behind the spiritual pandemic that has gone through at least the American Christian church? A spiritual pandemic that results in sexual promiscuity and sexual addictions just as common in the Christian church as it is in the society around us. The Lord does not see. Is that what's behind the pandemic of judgmentalism that has affected God's church so that so much of the world around us just wants nothing to do with the church because they just are all these holier-than-thou people who look down on us? The Lord does not see. Is that perhaps what is behind this spiritual pandemic that has affected the Christian church? So that every week worship, which was the pattern of God's people for thousands of years, has suddenly become, well, God would be satisfied if we're there once or twice a month because we've got all these other things to do. Could it be that what we're experiencing right now, where you can't come here to worship, is part of God's powerful call to us as Christians to search our own hearts, that the Lord does see? You know, in that vision of Ezekiel 8, he sees the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord was this incredible visual presentation of the Savior God that Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 1. And he describes it there. But in Ezekiel 8 through 11, he sees that glory of the Lord, that visible presence of the Lord in a vision. He sees that glory of the Lord in the temple, shining brightly. But this is the terrifying part of this vision. He sees that glory of the Lord gradually leaving the temple and then ultimately leaving the city. The glory of the Lord departs from God's people. And where the glory of the Lord is gone, that's where hopelessness reigns. For 6 years more, Ezekiel proclaims the glory of the Lord is leaving God's people. Repent. But they would not listen. And 6 years later is this sad announcement. In the 12th year of our exile, in the 10th month, on the 5th day, a man who had escaped Jerusalem came to me and said, "The city has fallen." The city has fallen. Is that the message for us? That God in his grace and wisdom has allowed his glory to depart from his church for a time, to allow the city to fall. I say that because I am frightened about the future. I'm frightened about my personal future and the future of my family members. Will their health be okay? I'm frightened for God's church. What's the church going to look like on the other side of COVID-19? But even more, I'm frightened for my church family. How many of my dear brothers and sisters are going to get sick, are going to die? How many are going to lose their livelihood? How many are going to fall into some deep, dark, dangerous depression because of this isolation? This is a time where we might say, the city has fallen. Our hope is gone. This is an incredibly terrifying time. But it is when we recognize that we have no hope that God speaks to us. He breathes into us the breath of life to give us hope. Our Old Testament lesson for today is Ezekiel 37. It's the account of the Valley of Dry Bones. I would like to read this lesson to you. I'll have it on the screen for you so that you can follow along and recognize what is God's message to people who have no hope because the glory of the Lord seems to be gone. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the valley of the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones. Say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath.'" And this is what's really incredible, is the word in Hebrew for breath and wind and spirit is the same. Prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the wind, prophesy to the spirit, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, "This is what the Sovereign Lord says, come breath, come spirit from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Our hope is gone.'" Doesn't that sound like us right in the midst of this time? Our hope is gone. The world is changing. "Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit, my breath, my wind in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Sovereign Lord, can these dry bones live? Can we who are drained of hope be filled with hope again? Can they live? Sovereign Lord, you alone know, Ezekiel said. And the Lord spoke. The Lord breathed through Ezekiel the breath of life. And he opened graves. Do you and I have hope where the breath, the Spirit of the Lord breathes? There is hope. Go back to the open graves of the past. In the Old Testament, God told his people over and over again, go back to the open grave of the Red Sea. go back and see how I brought my people out from the death of Egyptian slavery, brought them through the Red Sea on dry ground. Go back and see that open grave and know that I am a God who saves. Hope lives. And at this time, as Ezekiel is speaking, God's prophets say, you know what? This great open grave of the past, forget it. I'm going to do something even better. I'm going to bring my people back from exile in Babylon. The return from exile was an open grave that God called his hopeless people back to the promised land so that the Savior could be born in Bethlehem as God had foretold. And there's something amazing that happens. Not only do God's people come back from exile, but God gives them a new heart and a new spirit. You know those Judean pillar figurines that show the spiritual contagion that had spread all over God's people, that they were worshiping false gods before the exile? Guess what? Archaeology shows that idolatry stopped at the exile. Archaeology doesn't discover any of those figurines in the lairs post-exile. Our God not only brought them back from the death of Babylonian captivity and opened their graves, but he also brought them back from that spiritual death and opened them to a new life. Our gospel lesson for today is John chapter 11, the account of Lazarus. Maybe you remember it, where Lazarus dies and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, call on Jesus, but Jesus doesn't get there before Lazarus dies. And Jesus goes out to Lazarus' tomb and he says, Lazarus, come out! And Lazarus comes out. You see, go back to graves that are open and see that there is never a time when you and I are without hope. The glory of the Lord that left the temple in Ezekiel 8 through 11, that glory of the Lord has appeared among us. That glory of the Lord is Jesus Christ himself, and he has the power to overcome death itself. That open grave of Lazarus gave God's people hope. Many people believed in Jesus because of Lazarus' resurrection. And in 2 weeks, you and I are going to join together with the Christian church all over the world and celebrate that our God opened a grave. That the tomb on Easter morning is empty and that Jesus is victorious over death itself. Oh, brothers and sisters, you and I have a lot to be afraid of right now. I'll be honest. Economic questions, health questions for ourselves and for the people that we love and care about. God is, in a powerful way, calling us to search our own hearts and claiming again that even when it might appear hopeless to us because we are afraid, are we going to be able to make ends meet? Are we going to be healthy? Are we going to lose people we love? Even when it is hopeless, you and I have hope because the Lord of glory, our Savior, opened his grave. You are forgiven. I am forgiven. You see, you and I already have experienced an open grave. You and I have already received that new heart and new spirit. The Holy Spirit has breathed into us the breath of life. The Apostle Paul understood that. He makes a beautiful confession right in the middle of Romans chapter 8. I want to read that marvelous confession to you as someone who understands that when our Savior is present, when the glory of the Lord breathes the Spirit into us, we are filled with hope. Romans chapter 8. The Spirit, the breath you received, does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, the breath himself, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Dear brothers and sisters, let us join in the faith of the Apostle Paul. Let us trust in the words and promises of our God in Ezekiel. Let the Holy Spirit breathe the breath of life into us. Let this be a time when we open up God's word in new ways and say, breathe, Spirit, breathe into us the breath of life. And then may you and I, each of us, hear the call of Ezekiel to prophesy to that breath that he would breathe hope into the people around us. And with that in mind, let's pray. Abba, Father. Dear Father, we have the privilege of coming to you absolutely confident that we are your forgiven children. You sent your Son, the glory of the Lord, to be present with us, to die for us, to rise again. And so, Abba, Father, breathe into us the breath of life. Use us to breathe the breath of life and hope into the people around us. And Father, we pray especially for those who are filled with fear right now, perhaps are sick right now, the people who will be diagnosed in the coming days and weeks, breathe into them the breath of life, that no sickness, not even death, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Breathe hope and confidence into those who are serving us on the front line. The people that we think of first, the people in the hospitals, that you would bless them as they prepare for what appears to be an incredibly difficult time ahead. Keep them and their families safe. But we also pray for those who are continuing to serve us and every day are out there in the community so that we receive the basics of life, and we ask that you would guard and keep them and protect not only them, but their families. And then, Lord, we pray most of all that you would breathe the breath of life into your church, that you would use us to prophesy, to speak to the breath of life, to the Holy Spirit, come, breath of life, flow through us and give hope through us to the communities around us who need hope that only you can give. Abba, Father, hear our prayer and hear us as we join in praying. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. And I would invite you to join with me in uniting with the Christian church across the centuries. You see, one of the beauties of coming to worship here at St. Paul's is I am always reminded that I am worshiping our Savior with generations who have experienced times of great hopelessness. I can wander through the cemetery and I can see people who died in the Spanish flu, the great pandemic of 1918. I can see people who died in World War I, who died in World War II. I can see people who lost, incredibly, lost family members, and were still filled with hope because they believed that the God of hope had come to save them. And we join with them and with Christians across the centuries when we confess together our faith using the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And we join together in celebrating with Christians across the centuries that our God is our deliverer.